We are holding on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis, beginning the new Perek, 10th Perek of Holim.
Kuf Lamed Amud Beis.
Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, I mean, sorry. Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, beginning the new Perek. Okay, the name of this Perek is Hazroel Va'al Chayayim V'Hakeva, and the subject of it is that mitzvah. The Torah tells us in Parashat Shoftim, one of the matanos that you're supposed to give the Kohenim, the pasuk goes, V'zeyi Mishpat HaKohenim Me'ez Ba'am, this should be the law for the Kohenim, from the people, from those who shecht an animal, im shor im seh, whether a sheep or whether an ox or whether cattle or seh, which we've learned before that seh is a generic term for sheep and goats. He should give to the Kohen the Zroya, which is the foreleg, the Chayayim, which are the cheeks, and the Keva, which is the fourth of the animal's stomach. Well, at the end of the parak, we'll learn exactly where each of those parts begins and ends. But that's the mitzvah, to give them to the Kohen from any... Why specifically these? So there's a number of reasons. Later on in our parak, we have a little piece of Agadah that gives a reason having to do with Pinchas killing Zimri and Cosby. He used the Zroya, he took the spear in his hand, he davened Hashem, and he gabbed them through the Keva. So it has to do with that. Rashi brings it on the positive. There's other reasons also. The Rambam mentions the Monavuchim, for example, and each of these is sort of like the beginning of that respective part of the animal. The Zroya, the first place where the foreleg of the animal, where, like, so to speak, the animal starts branching out and having limbs. The L'chayayim is the beginning of the animal because the cheeks, it's right there on the face. And the Keva is the beginning of the intestine, the fourth stomach, so after it comes. It's the fourth stomach, but after it begins the intestines, after it begins the large and small intestines. Okay. Fine. So our perek is going to be, so the subject of our perek is the details of this mitzvah. Mishnah says, Hazroya Val Chayayim V'Akeva Noigin Ba'oretz V'Chutz La'oretz. So we have the same formula that we've had a few times at the beginning of a perek in Cholin. It applies, you know, to Yisrael and Chutz La'oretz. Now, why does it need to say that? Rashi says there's no particular chiddush in that. The reason why the Mishnah is mentioning it is it's the same formula that it used by all the other ones. In this particular case, the chiddush that the Mishnah wants to tell us later on is that it applies only to Cholin. On the other hand, at the beginning of the next parak, we're going to learn that there is an opinion that says that Zroya L'Chayayim B'Keva does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. So according to that way of looking at it, our Mishnah may be telling us that it disagrees with that. B'Pnei Abayis, for Shaloi B'Pnei Abayis, it applies whether the Beit Mikdash is standing or not. It applies only to cholin animals, not to animals of korbanos, as we'll see in the Gemara why that is.
Not what?
That Zorei L'Chayayim B'Keva doesn't apply. Well, actually, we're going to see in the Mishnah. No, what do you mean? You don't need. You would think when you're shechting an animal of kodshim, when you're shechting a korban, you would think you're supposed to give those parts to the kohen.
Right.
And so actually the Mishnah is going to talk about korban a bit, and the Gemara is going to discuss the rest. So it applies only to cholin. It doesn't apply to kodshim. Shahoya badin. Now the reason why we need to be told, and eventually we're going to see eventually if there's a pasuk that tells us that doesn't apply to kodshim, because otherwise you would have thought to make a kavah chomer. Uma im a cholin she'en chayavim because of a shoy chayavim matanos. And by the way, I should mention that throughout the perek and in general throughout shas, the word matanos, now you have 24 matanos kohona. But when otherwise unspecified, the word matanos generally means this is Zroya L'Chayayim V'Keva.
To the Mizbeach.
No, it's not for the Mizbeach. It's given to the Kohanim. It's given to the Kohanim, and then, yeah.
Why is it called matanos?
It's called it's called matanos because Hashem gave it to them as a gift. This is from cholin animals, remember, so it has nothing to do with kodshim. So we're saying, you know, among the 24 matnas kohona that a yid is obligated to give to the kohen, you have truma, you have mice, you have trumas meiser, you have various parts of korbanos, and so on and so on. You have challah, etc. And then you have Zorei L'Chayayim V'Keva as one of the 24. But in general, when the Mishnah and the Gemara use the word matanos without any further specification, it usually means Zorei L'Chayayim V'Keva. Tonight, you would think to make a kavah chomer, you would think madach cholin animals, you don't give the chest and the leg to the lower leg to the Kohanim, as you do from Shlomim, where you take the Chazon and Sharik and wave them and give them to the Kohanim, yet Chayavim Matonis, but they are Chayav in Matonis, and Zerul Chayayim Mateva. So you would think by Chavachoyim, a Kodshim, Shachayavim, a Chazon and Sharik. So Kodshim, where you have an obligation, namely when we say Kodshim, we mean primarily Shlomim, Toda, whatever, Korbanus, that Korbanus of which the owner gets the major portion, and he has to take the Chazon and Sharik and give it to the Kohen. Ain't a Din Shachayavim Matonis, shouldn't you make a Kabachoyim then that he should also have to give them the matanos, if the Torah is machmer on one than the other? No, tamar b'aymer. V'etken oisam la'aron ha'kohen l'vonam l'chok olam. No, therefore, when the Torah talks about the idea of chazav v'shoy, it says that Hashem says, I gave them to Aaron ha'kohen and to his sons as an eternal law, meaning only them. In loy, elam asher olam b'inyan, for all they get. So Shlomim is what it says over there in the Pesukim about Chazah and Shoik. The Oysam is a miyuk, so that means they only get Chazah and Shoik, they don't get Zura and the Choyah and the Teva. So that is how we know that it doesn't apply to Kodshim. So again, the Gemara is going to take up that point and expand on it. Okay.
Oysam means only
Chazah and Shoik. Okay. So, continues the Mishnah. Now, let's talk about within Kodshim themselves. We know that there can be a case, we know that Kodshim can develop a mum, and then the din varies depending when the mum took place. So kola Kodshim shekada mum kavur lekdesh. If an animal of Kodshim had a permanent mum before he was makdish, you're not supposed to be makdish such a thing. And if you do, then it never gets kedusha takvur. It's the equivalent. Rashi says it's the equivalent of being makdish, for example, water, stone to the mizbeach. They don't have to the Beth Mesesh, rather. They don't have Kedushas Aguf. They only have Kedushas Domim. So therefore, if you redeem them from Hekdesh, then they're considered like complete Chulin. So therefore, the Niftu, so now, again, they developed a Mum, then you amakdish them, then you were poor to them. You makish them when you didn't notice, or maybe you didn't know you're not supposed to. Whatever, it doesn't really matter whether it's the Shurik or the Mezid, either way. So if he did that, the Niftu, and then they were redeemed from Hekdesh, Chayovin bebechora uvamatonis, so they would be Chayav in bechora if it was a female animal and it gave birth to a firstborn male, then that male was going to have Kedusha. Now, as long as it's not Nifta, it actually brings from Bechoris, the next Masechta that we're going to be learning, Be'ezus Hashem, that we're going to have a machlokas on that point, but the Tana of our Mishnah holds basically that one Kedusha cannot be Chal on top of the other one. Since the mother animal here has Kedusha Zaguf, and the baby in the womb also, not Kedusha Zaguf, Kedusha Zdomi, then therefore that prevents Kedusha Bechor from being able to take offense. We'll see in Bechoris that's not so simple. There's different opinions on that. But our Tana of our Mishnah is assuming that that's the case. Therefore, as long as the mother and the baby in her womb were not redeemed from Hekdesh, then they still have Kedushas Domim. Therefore, that prevents, that blocks Bechorda from applying to it. But if you redeem them before the baby was born, then the baby is Chayiv and Bechorda. Over matonos, and also now you're going to be chayav when you shech this animal, you're going to be chayav to give the matonos to the kohen. The yotzim lecholim lehigazes ala abed, and while the Mishnah is mentioning this, it's mentioning other dinim that applies to the animal in this case. The yotzim lecholim, the animal now completely goes out to cholin. In other words, it becomes completely cholin, even to the extent lehigazes ala abed, even to the extent that you're allowed to shear it and you're allowed to work with it. Now if it was still hektish. If it was still hektish, that would be also because it belongs to hektish, but even as the Mishnah is going to continue, if you were makdish them and only later they developed a mum, you're also poor to them, but then the din is different. Psulei hamukdashin, you're not allowed to shear them and you're not allowed to work with them.
So if they developed the mum before...
If they developed the mum before, that's what we're saying. Then they never had kedushas agur. They could only have kedushas domim. Therefore, when you pour to them, they go back to being complete cholin, and you're allowed to shear them, and you're allowed to work with them. But if the mum had developed after you were makdish them, no. Once you pour it, cholin, you don't have to necessarily leave it to graze, but you can't shear it, and you can't work with it.
Okay.
Also, another din that would apply to these animals that only have kedushas damim is the babies of them and their milk would be mutter after you redeem them. again, as opposed to the Mishnah is going to continue, that if you amakdash them and then they develop the mum, then you're also then you're not allowed to drink their milk and their vlodis also and their vlodis. So also Rashi explains over here that in Bechoris it talks about that that both cases of our Mishnah are talking about where the mother animal became pregnant before they were redeemed and then the baby was born afterwards. So we'll see in Bechoris various details about that, but the point is that when we're saying over here that, again, this animal that only has Kedushas Damim, once you redeem it, you're allowed, once you redeem it, and later on the baby is born, so now that baby is mutter b'hana'an, is mutter to eat, and mutter to do whatever you want with it, and the mother, you're allowed to drink her milk after you redeem the animal. And if a person were to shecht such an animal outside of this mikdash, then he would be potter, because this is not roi lepetach oil moyel, because we learned in Zvachim, when we learned about the whole concept of shchut echot, that only an animal that could have conceivably been brought in a korban is a person chayev for shchut echot. He was not, since it was a baal mum before he was ever makdash it, then again, it never had kedushas agrof, and therefore it was never roi lover b'fnim. Okay, the Ein Oisin Tumura, and another din that would apply to these animals is you can't make a tumura with them. And that applies even while they're still hektish, even before you purge them. Rashi brings from Bechoris. In Bechoris, we're going to talk about many of these dinim about animals that have a mum before and after you makdash them or whatever. So, when the animal was a baal mum before you were makdash it, we learned from Sukkim that it's not able to make a tmura. If you were to say this animal is tmura of this one, nothing happens. Okay. The imnesu yipodu, and one more din that applies to them, is if the animal dies before you're able to be poided, no problem, you can be poided afterwards. What about, we have a concept that says, ein poidin is a kodshim la'achila maklovim, you're not allowed to redeem kodshim where the only thing you can do with them is feed them to the dogs, which would be the case in here over here because they're nevela. That applies, Rashi says, only where they were able to have kedushas aguf. Here they were never able to have kedushas aguf. Therefore, that din doesn't apply to them.
So they're not really kodshim.
They are kodshim. They're kodshim bedek habayis. But actually, Rashi points out that the Tana of our Mishnah holds now like this. We have, there is also a concept when it comes to kodshim that in order to be poured to them, you need something called ha'amodah v'harocha. You have to stand up the animal in front of the Koyan, and the Koyan is able to, and the Koyan evaluates the value of it, and then tells you how much you have to pay Hektish to buy it back. The Tana of our Mishnah holds, says Rashi, that Kodshe Bedek Abayis, which is effectively what this is, because it doesn't have Kodshe Lagok, don't require Hamad of HaRocha, so therefore it doesn't matter. Even though it's dead, and you can't stand it up in front of the Koyan, it doesn't matter, you're still able to be poured there and then take meat and feed it to dogs. Okay. Chutz min HaBechorim min HaMeiser, all of these rules apply except to a bechor or except for ma'aser behema. Bechor, even if it had a mum before it was born, it becomes a bechor as soon as it's born, so it doesn't matter whether it's a tamim or a baal mum, it still has the same din of a bechor. And ma'aser behema, same thing. Ma'aser behema, ha'asidu yi'akodesh, it doesn't matter whether it's a tam or a baal mum, either way, it still has the same dusha of ma'aser behema. So being a baal mum, you can't offer it as a bechor or as a ma'aser, but it still has all of the dinim of bechor or all of the dinim of ma'aser, and therefore you would not, all of these rules would not apply to it. You would not have to give, you would not be able to drink the well, so it's a male or a bechor, a ma'aser could be a female. You wouldn't be able, you can't redeem them, you can't drink their milk, but they could make a tmura, et cetera, yeah. On the other hand, kol shekodem akdeshin es mumon. On the other hand, if you amakdish the animal before it developed a mum, oy mum over kodem akdeshin, or it only had a temporary mum before you amakdish it, and a temporary mum doesn't permanently disqualify it because eventually it'll heal. Then, so suppose that it had a temporary mum, then you amakdish it, later on it developed a permanent mum, or...
You have to ask the Kohen if it's...
No, you don't have to ask a Kohen per se, but we'll learn in Bechoris, you have to take it to a Chacham. You have to ask the Chacham to check it to you and see if this is a mum. So yeah. So again, you have two cases in this last part of the, in this next clause of the Mishnah, in the Sefer, that one is that when you were makdash it, it was completely a tam. Later on, it developed a mum. The other possibility is at the time you were makdash it, it had a mum over, but we ignore that, because the mum over doesn't doesn't disqualify him. You can't be mocked with it right now in current status, but it doesn't disqualify it from eventually being able to get Kedusha Zaguf once the mum heals. Then you amakdash it. Later on, it developed a permanent mum, the niftu, and then you redeemed it. Then the dinim are different. Pturim min ha-bechora. Such an animal is potter from bechora. If it developed a permanent mum after you amakdash it, then that animal is potter from bechora, even if later on you appoint it. So again, in the earlier case, the mission of the case was permanent mum, hektish, pidyon. Now the order is hektish, permanent mum, pidyon. So now, nevertheless, even though you were poided, nevertheless, it's potter from Bechorah. Rashi explains this and a couple of the other dinim that we're going to have as we go through the Mishnah are based on the fact that the Torah compares Psula Yamukdashin to Tzvi V'ayil. The Torah mentions that if you have an animal that is possible to bring as a korban and you redeem it, then you can shecht it and you can eat it anywhere you want because it's kolin. And the Torah says you can eat it katzvi b'cha'ayil, like a deer or like a gazelle. So there's a number of dinim that we learn from that comparison. One of them is this concept of b'chor doesn't apply to deer and gazelles, so it only applies to domestic animals. So therefore, this animal was possible from b'chor. So if it was a female animal and later on it gave birth to a b'chor, then that animal does not have precious b'chor. Umina matonis, it's also potter from matonis for the same reason, because matonis don't apply to tzvi and ayil, they only apply to domestic animals. The einan yotzim lecholim lehagozes a little bit, they don't go fully out to cholim when you redeem them, in the sense that you can't shear them and you can't work with them, because you only have the Torah cells, you're allowed to shech them and you're allowed to eat them, but you're not allowed to work with them and you're not allowed to shear them. The baby that it bears and the milk that it gives are also and again Rashi says, like we said earlier in the Mishnah that we're talking about over here, where the mother animal was pregnant before you appointed it and then the baby was born after you appointed it. It has to be that way, Rashi says, because if it only became pregnant after you appointed it, then there's no reason that baby would have any kedusha. It would be the equivalent of a baby of a severe aisle. And if it was born beforehand, then obviously it had its own independent thing. If it was born before the pidyon, then it doesn't matter. Then it wouldn't matter whether the mother had a mum first or whether you were makdash it first. Either way, a baby that's born from it would have the kedusha of the mother. So it has to be. We're talking about that the mother was pregnant before you were makdash it. Before you appointed it, and then gave birth after you appointed it. Okay. So vlad and mechablon also lachat v'dyonim. V'ashoch and v'chutz chayev. If a person shechts this animal outside the bismikdash, he would be chayev. He would be chayev chatos or pareis because it had a point where it was roi lovei b'pnim. Rashi explains that here we're talking about specifically where the kind of mum it has. Is for example dukin shabayim. For example, it had a cataract or split eyelid or whatever. Where we've learned in Zvachim that Rabbi Akiva holds such things in olu lo yodu, such a minor mum. Given that it doesn't apply to Ophis and given that it doesn't apply to Bnei Noach, then the din is you're not allowed to be masked with it. But if it did go on the mizbeach, you don't take it off. Therefore, in that sense, it's considered roi lover b'pnim, as opposed to if it had a major mum, then you'd be potter. The Rambam actually has a gears over here that you pull through either way, because he learns that either way the fact is it has a mum, so it's not roi lover b'pnim. Also, in this case, the animal would be able to produce a tmura, because again, it had kedushas haguf. So therefore, as long as you weren't poured it, then it may be a bal mum now, but that's fine. It's still a kedushas haguf from beforehand, and therefore it can produce a tmura. The imesu yikavru, and if they die without you having a chance to shech them, then you have to bury them. And Rashi says, for the two reasons that we said before. Number one, because it had kedushas haguf, it definitely needs ha'amod of ha'arach, so it needs to be stood up in front of the kohen to evaluate. Now you can't, because then. And number two, because ain't kodshim as a kodshim, ha'ashim l'klavim, because you're not allowed to be redeeming kodshim, where the only thing you can do with them afterwards is feed them to the dogs. And here, that's all you can do, because it's available. So those are the distinctions.
Because
it died. What do you mean it's an available? We're talking about here you have, again, you were makdash it, then it developed a permanent mum, Then you were then it developed a permanent wound. Before you had a chance to be podered, it died. Then you have to bury it. If you podered it and then it died, then of course, it's like any other novella, you can do whatever you want with it. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Time at the cost of Rachmana Oysam. Now, what are we saying in the Mishnah? Why is it we're saying that Kodshim, you don't give Zroel Chayayim Bekeva to the Kohen? We're saying because we have a mute in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says Oysam, that only Chaz of Ashot go to the Kohenim from Kodshim and not anything else. So what does that mean? Only because the Pasuk said Oysam. Holav Hachi, implying, if not for that, Hava Amina, we would have thought to say Kodshim Chayav Matonis. We would have thought on the basis of the Kavachomer from our Mishnah that Kodshim should be Chayav Matonis. The problem with that is that's not a very good Kavachomer. Ikal Mifrach, we can easily slog up that Kavachomer. Malacholin Shekain Chayav and Bebechoyra. What are you telling me that because, what's the Kavachomer in the Mishnah? Cholin, you don't give Chaz of a Shoik, but you have to give Matonis. So Kodshim, you have to give Chaz of a Shoik, you have a greater Chumrah in them, so shouldn't it be a Kavachomer, you have to give Zroel Chayam a Kavachomer? Chulin have a different Chumrah, they're Chayav Rebachorah. As we said in our Mishnah, Kodshim are not Chayav Rebachorah, Chulin are, so therefore you can slog up that Kavachomer. Okay, the answer is Tatin is Chorin. Fine, you can answer that we could have learned the Kavachomer without the word Oysam, we could have learned it from males of Chulin. You can't say chayavim the bechor or not. Males are not going to give birth. So either the animal itself is a bechor or not. So you could have thought to learn a kavachomer from that. Not the cholin that are not chayav because of a shoik, and they're not chayav in bechor either because they're males, but they're chayav in matanos, the kodshim, etc. Okay, the problem with that is malas chorim shekain chayavim bereishis hagez. You could argue though, male animals, sheep, are chorim specifically means rams. So the din of gracious agaz applies to them, which is going to be the subject of the next parak, the mitzvah that the Torah tells us to give the first shearings of your sheep every year to the Kohen. So you could argue they have a chomer in that, that you have to do gracious agaz. Well, that's what we're saying. Female animals have a chomer that they could conceivably give birth to a bechor, right. And male animals have a chomer that you have gracious agaz.
So why
are we doing it? So why is the Mishnah telling us that we need the word oysam to tell us not to listen to the kavachomer? We could have slugged up the kavachomer. If you're going to tell me that cholin, that cholin shouldn't have a chomerah because chaz v'shoik, I'll answer you. Yeah, but cholin, but male animals of cholin have a chomerah because you're Yeshiva Gez. Yeah. Okay, the answer is mityoshim. Fine, we could try to learn the kavachomer, but we could try to learn the kavachomer from male goats. There's no bechorah and there's no Yeshiva Gez. Okay, the problem, male goats don't have, well, they have bechorah, no, they can't give birth, they're males.
Yeah, but they have
the goats have a fine, but we're talking about males. In other words, we could have remade the Kavachomer as follows. Madach male goats which don't have they don't have Chaz v'Shoik, they don't have Reshit Agez, they don't have Bechora, and yet they have Zerul Chayai Mekeva, so how much more so Kodshim? Okay, but the problem with that is Malat Yoshim, between the Chnasim, the Dirle Yisaser. You could argue, though, even male goats of Chulin have a Chumra over Kodshim, namely that you have to take Maiser Behema from them. They go into the pen, Nichnasim, the Dirle Yisaser, they go into the pen to have Maiser taken from them, which is, in other words, the Gemara's way of saying that they're Chayiv and Maiser Behema.
The Tiyoshim means what?
It means male goats.
Male goats,
yeah. Okay, so the answer is you could say Mizkaden. Fine, you could still learn the Kavachomer from older male goats. Ones that are not chayiv in ma'aseh behemah, because an animal is only chayiv in ma'aseh behemah once in its life. Once you put it in the pen and you count it as the minyan aroi, as we're learning in Bechoras, Kras Hashem, then you never have to put that particular one in the pen again. Okay, the question is, malas kenim shekin nichnasu l'dir le'isaser. Still, you could argue they have an advantage over kodshim because at one time they were chayiv in ma'aseh behemah. Whereas kodshim, if you have, let's say, an animal that was designated kodshim right when it was born, then it never had to go. Sometime during the first year of life, you never had to bring it into the pen. Yeah. Yeah. So far, we seem to be able to shlog up the kavachomer without a fuss. Okay, the answer is melakuach v'yosin. Fine, we could say we would make a kavachomer from an animal that you bought or from an animal whose mother died within its first few days of life. So we'll learn in Chorus exactly what a yosin is. But anyway, the point is animals that you buy are potter from Maisa Behema. You're only chayav to take Maisa Behema from animals that are born in your flocks, in your herds. Yeah. And a yosim is also potter. Okay, yosim to be exact, Shemesa Ime Bishas later, Rashi says, that his mother died during childbirth. That's the definition of yosim. So, and that's also possible from Isabel. So you can make a kavachomer from those. Again, you would say a lakuach u'yosin is not chayev in b'chora because it's a male animal, so it's never going to give birth to a b'chora. It's not chayev in reishis hageiz because the goat. It's not chayev in ma'aseh behemah because a lakuach and yosin are potter from ma'aseh behemah. And yet you have to take zero lachayim to take from it. How much more so kodshim, etc. Tosfos points out, it's not only the Kuach v'yosim, you have a number of other cases where it's possible from mice to behemoth. You have, for example, an animal that's kilayim, an animal that's trefa, and a half a dozen others. So whatever, we pick these two, yeah. Okay.
The
Kuach means an animal that you bought.
That you bought.
Yeah. Okay, the question is, Mal Lakuach v'yosim, shekin nechnasim b'minam l'dirle yisamzer. Okay, so you could still shlug up the kavachomer. You could say, okay, an animal that itself is bought, or an animal whose own mother died in childbirth, okay, that one doesn't go into the pen for Ma'aseh Behemah. But other ones of its species do, as opposed to Kodshim seem to be completely excluded. Okay, Mara says, so what, b'minam kamer? You're talking about, you want to extend it to the whole species? Fine, Kodshim nami, b'minam nechnasim l'dirle yisamzer. Okay, Kodshim are also part of a species that Ma'aseh Behemah is taken from them. So therefore, in other words, it would have been a valid kavachomer. We could have said, in other words, that lakuach v'yot, you would say like this, madach lakuach and yosim, that are potter from ma'aseh behemah, and they're potter from reishis hageiz because they're goats, and they're potter from bechora because they're males, and yet they're chayim and chazav v'shoik, how much more so kodshim, which are potter from chazav v'shoik, but they're chayim and zroi l'chayim v'kever, how much more so kodshim, which are chayim and chazav v'shoik. And if you were going to say that, yeah, but lakuach and yosim, you have other members of their species that are chayim and ma'aseh behemah, you would say, well, the same is true of kodshim. So therefore, it would have been a valid kavachomer, and that is why we need the word oisam tell us not to listen to the kavachomer.
So once it's bought, that's it. You cannot.
That's it. Yeah, if you buy an animal, you're not chayiv in ma'aseh behemah.
Right.
Yeah, we'll learn about those details.
So the animals have not been bought, and where are they? These animals?
Okay, so we're talking about, in other words, so you have a flock of sheep or goats or what have you,
right.
Or cattle. So you have babies are born during the year. At some point during the year, you bring them into the, we'll learn in Bechoros, we'll learn the details, as Hashem, you put them in a pen and you have them come out one by one on the tenth, and each tenth one is ma'aseh behemah. We'll learn about that primarily in the last paragraph of Bechoros, where Hashem talks about those in him. Okay. Fine. So anyway, so all of that explains why the kavachomer in our Mishnah would have been a valid kavachomer, and that's why we need the word oisam to tell us not to listen to it. Okay. Fine. Next. In that case, let's attack, though, the basis of the kavachomer. Let's argue the other way around. Maybe cholin or chayiv in chazav v'shoik. Maybe every time you shecht a cholin animal, you have to give the chazav v'shoik to the kohen. Make a kavachomer like this. The exact opposite. Kodshim she'ein chayiv in matanos, chayiv in chazav v'shoik. Kodshim are not chayiv in matanos, as we just established, but they're chayiv in chazav v'shoik, they have to give to the kohen. Cholin she'chayiv in matanos, so cholin animals that are obligated in matanos, ain't a din she'chayiv in chazav v'shoik, shouldn't be a kavachomer that you have to take the chazav and shoik from them and give them to the kohen. The answer is no. Omakra, v'zeh yiyah mishpat ha'kohenim. The pasuk says, in connection with Zoro L'Chayayim Akeva, it says this should be the assigned rule, yeah, for the Kohen. Implying Zeh in Midya Achling Alot. So only this, Zoro L'Chayayim Akeva, nothing else. Again, the word Zeh is a Midya.
Yeah, but that, how do you know it applies to this? Is it in the same pasuk or it follows?
Well, no, the pasuk goes, V'zeh Yiyah Mishpat HaKohenim Me'eis Ta'om, etc., that they should give the Kohen the Zoro L'Chayayim Akeva. So implying that Zeh means only this. Actually, Tosfos asked the question that maybe you should argue that the word Zeh over here is coming to tell us that it doesn't apply to Kodshim. Before we're saying that we're learning it from Oisam, maybe in fact we're learning it from Zeh. And that's Tosfos' answer. It's basically, since we already have the word Oisam, we know the word Zeh is extra, and therefore we can use it for our purpose over here to say that it means that Cholin are potter from Chazav v'Shoik. Okay. So again, the question is, Elatayim and the Chazav Rachman is there. Again, the only reason we're saying that Cholin are potter from Chazav v'Shoik is because the pasuk is there. Hol Abhachi have Amin Cholin Chayavim b'Chazav v'Shoik. You're telling me that otherwise we would have thought that Cholin are obligated in Chazav v'Shoik if we didn't have the words there? The question is, V'Haboi Tznufa. What do you mean we need the words there for that purpose? After all, what do you do with the Chazav v'Shoik? You don't just give them to the Kohen. You first wave them. And they would require waving. So you have to ask, hey, chilin apinu, where are you supposed to be waving them? Let's say hypothetically that chazav v'shoik applied to cholin. Where would you be waving it? E Avroi, would you be doing it outside the Azara, wherever in the world you shechted an animal, you would be taking the chaz of the shorik and waving it and giving it to, and then giving it to the Kohen? No, lifnei Hashem, because the pasuk talks about waving them before Hashem. E Agavoi, are you going to talk about that you would have to, that you would be obligated to bring them to the Beis Hamikdash? Every time you shechted a chulin animal, let's say you would have to take the chaz of the shorik, bring them to the Mizbeach and wave them. Okay. Then you're bringing cholin into the azara. You haven't used it for any carbon or anything, and you're not supposed to do that. Tosfos discusses over here that actually is this business about not bringing cholin ba'azara, is that actually daraisa? Our Gemara seems to be implying that yes, and that's why the prophet needs to tell us. So we're asking why do we need a prophet? Because the question is that there are other Gemaras that imply that the whole concept that what we had, for example, in Zvachim, we said that the Kohenim, let's say, when they eat Kodshim in the Azara, are allowed to bring in spices of Cholin to use it to season the food, implying that the whole Isur is only Drabbanan, and so the Drabbanan make an exception for them. So Tosfos says that maybe what it is that, I mean, Tosfos discusses it over here. Tosfos discusses this whole issue of whether it's Doraisa or Derabanan and what the exact parameters of Chulin Bazara are. In a half, you can see Mithras Hashas refers to Tosfos in a half dozen other places in Shas that discuss this point. But Tosfos says, okay, there might be a difference that Chaz of a Shoik, for example, if we were going to say that you had to bring Chaz of a Shoik of Chulin into the Azara, you're bringing them. After all, you're bringing them in seemingly as something of kedusha. You bring them in order to wave them as if they were a carbon. So therefore, that's what our Gemara is saying. You can't do that. But Sam, to bring in cholin where you're not using it as part of any avodah or something, maybe that part would be mutar daraisa. Okay. Anyway, the point is hilchos.
So just about what you offer, basically.
Yeah. So the bottom line is there's no way to be doing chaz of a shoik of cholin in such a way that you'd be giving it to the kohen. You can't wave it outside the azara and you can't bring it into the azara. It's a wave because cholin. So therefore, by elimination, it's impossible. So from that reason alone, we know that you don't do chaz of a shoik by cholin. We don't need the word zeh for that purpose. So the question is ela zeh lomali. So what are we using the word zeh for? The answer is l'chad Rav Chista. We're using it for what Rav Chista teaches us. The Amr of Chista, Hamazik, Matnes, Kahuna, Osha Ochon, if a person damages the Matnes Kahuna, these Zeroy Lachayim Makeva, before he gave them to the Kohen, let's say Rashi says, he threw them into a fire, he threw them into the ocean, whatever. So he's Mazik them, Osha Ochon, or if he ate them, Potter Mil Shalom, then he's Potter from paying for them. Because of the word Zeh. The word Zeh implies only when they're intact, only when they exist, so you're obligated to give them to the Kohen. But if they're damaged or eaten, you're not obligated to repay the Kohen for them. So then we would learn that from the word Zeh. So now let's get it.
So you could say you cannot eat them because they would have been destroyed, but
no.
You know you don't have to pay them back.
Well, that's because that's the point. Zeh means this. The actual Zeroy L'chayayim B'keva are what you have to give to the Kohen. But if you damage them or you ate them, you are not obligated to pay him back with money or other meat or whatever, because it was there. Okay. Fine. So now let's get into that topic. Gufa. Getting back to that point, let's analyze it in more detail. Amr of Chista, Hamazik Matnes Kohuna Osha Ochon. If a person damages or eats the Matnes Kohuna, Potter M'lashalim, he's Potter from paying the Kohen. So my timer, so what's the reason? So number one, Ibai Seima Dechtiv Zeh. One possibility is because of the word Zeh that we just said. The Ibai Seima, another reason you could argue is Mishum Dehavale Mamen She'en Lo Tovim. Because this is money that there's nobody who has a specific claim on it. When you get down to it, the Matnes Kohuna, and not just Zoril Chayayim Bekeva, in general, most of the Matnes Kohuna, Truma, Maiserisha, et cetera, Maiserisha for Levium also, whatever. Most of these things, they're the collective property of the Shevet or of the Kohen. So to take it from them, it's called Gezel HaShevet. We're going to learn about it later in the parak. But there's no specific Kohen or Levi in the case of Maiserisha that would have standing to go to you and say, would have standing to go and say, you owe me for these Matnes Kohuna. Or whatever, for this Maiserishin.
So it gets a shevet, but you can't.
There's no specific person who has the ability to come to Beis Din because the Balabas can always tell him, I could have given it to another Kohen. It's not necessarily your personal property. So that's another reason why. So if it was Mazik, these Matnas Kahuna, again, the Kohenim collectively could say, you're doing wrong, you were supposed to give us the Matnas Kahuna. But any individual Kohen who would say, pay up, you could tell them. The whole Shevet is not going to come
together.
No, whatever, the point we're in, there's Mum and Shein Lechoyim. There's no specific Kohen that you would be obligated to pay it to, because there's no specific Kohen that you're required to give Zohar Lechoyim Lekeva to. Now what's the difference between these two reasons, whether we learn it from Zeh or whether we learn it from because Mum and Shein Lechoyim? Tosfos says, what would happen? Suppose the person was Mazik Matnas Kahuna, and afterwards he wants to do Tshuva. He wants to be Yotzi Yodei Shemayim. He wants to put things right with Hashem. He wants to do tshuva and do the right thing So if we say it's because Mom and Shein Lo Tovim, okay. Technically, in practice, there's no particular koyin who could demand it from him. Nevertheless, to be Yotzi Yodei Shemayim, you could go and give money or an equivalent amount of meat or whatever to a koyin to be Yotzi Yodei Shemayim. You have a similar concept in other Gemaras, in Bava Kamma, for example, where a person stole from somebody in such a way that they don't have any legal recourse, but if he wants to be Yotzi Yodei Shemayim, he'll pay back anyway. So here would be a similar thing. But the point is, he could be Yotzi Yodei Shemayim that way. On the other hand, if we're learning it from the Zeh, then it means that even B'day Shemayim, there's even B'day Shemayim, you're not fired. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, the Gemara says Meitzvi. I have a contradiction to this concept. So you're telling me, Rav Chisda, that if a person is mazik, the matnas kahuna, or he eats them, then he's potter from pain. But a b'raisa says, v'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohenim, when the pasuk introduces it by saying, this shall be the law, the rule for the kohen, and the word mishpat means a judgment. So therefore, it means melamed shamatonis din. That comes to teach us that the matonis, the zroi l'chayim v'keva, are considered a din.
Well, know that.
Well, and not a din as in a mitzvah in the Torah, but a din means something that can be judged and based in, something justiciable. So that implies, in other words, the first kohen who comes and says, wait a minute, you damaged my matnas kahuna, pay up, you'd have to pay him. Yeah. That goes against Rechista, because Rechista says that's not. Lamai Hilchsa. Now, when we're saying that it is a din, what would be the relevance of saying that?
Where did you get it from?
Rav Chisda got it from Zeh, because Mom and Chandler Chayim. The Braisa is saying because it says Mishpat Hakoyanim, implying it's something that can be judged in Beis Din. In other words, if a person takes the Matnas Kahuna and throws them into the ocean, to give Rashi's example, the first Kohen who comes and brings him to Beis Din could say, pay up.
But the
Braisa is learning from the word. Well, one second. The Braisa didn't spell out that it means Dayan. The Braisa just says Malamet Shamatron is Din. The Gemara is assuming Lamai Hilchsa. Now, what would be the relevance of saying the Matonis are a Din, something that Beis Din would involve themselves in? Lav Loisian Badayonin. Isn't the implication that it means that a Dayan could force the Yisrael to pay up for the Matonis that he took?
To take it out from him.
The answer is Lloyd. No, that's not what it means that when the Braisa says that Matonis are a din, it means l'chokan b'dayonim. It means that when it comes to giving them out, when the Yisrael is handing out his Matonis after he shechted an animal, Beis Din will tell him who to give the Matonis to. They will tell him, give it to such and such a Kohen who is a Chaber, don't give it to this other Kohen who is an Amor. So it's no contradiction. The Braisa is talking about when you're first giving them out, it's a din in the sense that Beis Din gets involved in by telling you who to give it to. But if a person damaged them or ate them or whatever, then Beis Din can't force them to pay him back, right?
Only if that person wishes to pay back, then
if we say it's because Mom and Shane were told him, then if he wants to be Yotzi Yodei Shemayim, he would do that. Because if it was there, then not even there. The Chidur of Shmuel Manachmeni. So then the Braisa would be telling us like what Rav Shmuel Manachmeni said. The Amr of Shmuel Manachmeni, Amr of Yonison, Minayin Shein Noisin Matonos, really, L'koyin Amo Oretz, how do we know that we don't give the Matnas Kahuna, or not just Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva, but in general the Matnas Kahuna, how do we know that you don't give them to L'koyin Amo Oretz? Now, some of them, there's more of a reason not to give them to. For example, Truma, you have a real problem giving it to a Kohen Amoretz, because a Kohen Amoretz is assumed to be Tameh, and he's going to be Metameh the Truma, and you have a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah for Truma to remain Tameh. In fact, you're not allowed to eat it when it's Tameh. The Zroya L'chayayim L'keva, as we're going to learn later on in our parish, is actually chulin.
So you can eat it.
So once the Kohen has it, anybody can eat it. We're even going to discuss later on in the parish, can he even feed it to a goy, for example? We're going to discuss that, but whatever. The point is that it's not considered kodshim. There's no issue of it becoming tamei. So in principle, there shouldn't be a problem giving it to an amoret. But Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni is telling us, how do you know that you're not supposed to give them to a kohen amoret? Because you have a pasuk in Divrei Yomim in the times of Chizkiyahu, that Chizkiyahu is trying to get the people to go back to doing Torah and Mitzvot like they're supposed to, and among other things, he needs to strengthen the whole concept of Trumas and Maizvot, which had become weak. So he says, "Vayomer la'om le'yoshvei Yerushalayim." So he says to the people, to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, "Losus menos la'koyinim la'lavim, ha'koyinim ba'alavim." To give the portions for the Kohenim and for Levim, l'man yechazku b'Torah Hashem, in order that they can hold on strongly, in order that they can uphold the Torah of Hashem. So the implication is, kol amachzik b'Torah Hashem yesh leminos, so somebody who holds on to the Torah of Hashem, a Talmid Chacham, who learns Torah, deserves the menos, deserves these portions, v'she'en amachzik b'Torah Hashem ein leminos. So therefore, sort of Shmuel ben Achmeni is learning it from that pasuk in Divrei Yomim. So the Braita is telling us that we actually learn it from the pasuk v'zeh yemishpat hakohen. The mishpat hakohen again implies that the kohenim are supposed to be involved in that the kohenim are supposed to be involved. It's not the kohenim, that the beis din is supposed to be involved in giving it out, because the beis din is going to tell you who's a talmid chacham and who's not. Yeah.
That's the halacha.
Well, that is the halacha, although Tosfos points out, this is only if you have a kohen, a chaver, around, then you preferably give it to him. But if not, don't wait around until a kohen chaver shows up. Just give it to a kohen amor at the back point.
And you can still...
What?
You can still mess it up.
Well, again, with Zroya L'chayayim B'keva, it's less of an issue, because if they become tummy, it's not a big deal. Truma, you'd have a bigger deal, right? Okay, I mean, there's actually a Tosfos in Menachos that says that when you have a piece of a korban which is supposed to go to the entire base of, so then you don't really make a difference between koyanim or tamid chachamim or amei aret. Then you just make a difference whether he's moida ba'avoida. Does he genuinely believe that the avoida is something that on all the details are commanded by Hashem, or is he like one of the tzedukim who thinks that maybe not all of it applies or whatever? But other than that, here we're talking about things that are not part of a korban per se, but things that you just give out to any koyan you want. Also, Tosfos in Menachos mentions that concept. So far, that Braisa, the Zeyyah Mishpat HaKoinim, does not contradict Rav Chisda, because the Braisa is telling us that they can get involved by telling you who to give the Matanis to, whereas Rav Chisda is talking about what happens if you didn't give it to the Koyan and instead you destroyed it or you ate it. Okay. Toshma, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, I'm a Mishpat, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira also is learning from this word Mishpat, Malamacha Matanis Din, from this we learn that the Matanis are a Din, again, that base Din is involved with them somehow. Yachal after the Chaz V'Shot Din, you would think, continues Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, that maybe the Chaz V'Shot of Koyanim are also a Din in that sense. Tamad Lema Zeh, no, that's why you have the word Zeh, to tell us that this Din of Mishpat only applies to Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva. Now again, we have to ask Lamai, for what purpose is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira distinguishing and saying the Matanis are a din and Chaz V'Shoik are not a din? Ilem L'choker B'dayonin, are you going to say that it's the distinction of will Beis Din get involved and tell you who to give it to? What do you mean? Also Chaz V'Shoik la B'dayonin mechalku. The Chaz V'Shoik also, the Dayonim are involved. Rashi says over here in deciding who should get them, because again, a Kohen Amoret shouldn't be getting them, they're korbshim. And then Kohen Amoret can't be careful with them to keep them tahor. So there, and besides which, it's also, it's menos. When we said before, menos is menos, a Kohen Amalavim, Uman Yechazik Uvetaris Hashem. So that applies in general to all the 24 Matnas Kohona. So Chaz V'Shoik is just as much one of the Matnas Kohona as Zroi L'Chayayim Akeva. So why wouldn't Beis Din be involved? Ela Lav L'Hotzi B'Dayonin. The implication would seem to be that the difference is that the Dayanim can take away from a person who didn't give it to the Kohenim, whereas Chazan Shoyv, no.
Take away meaning what?
Again, if he destroyed them, then they'll make him pay for it. Or if he ate them, they'll make him pay for it.
So that's
what against Rav Chisda is saying.
That's different.
Yeah, the answer, no, what do you mean different? On the face of it, if Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is telling us that the Matonis are a din and Chaz v'Shoyk are not a din,
right.
It can't mean, unlike we thought before, that when we said that the Matonis are a din, we meant that Beis Din is involved in deciding who should get them and who not.
Yeah,
but we're saying Chaz v'Shoyk should also be in that category.
Right.
Beis Din is going to determine which Kohenim deserve to get Chaz v'Shoyk and which don't. So evidently, the distinction must be that Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva, Beis Din will actually force you to pay back for them if he took them, and Chaz V'Shoyk not. So then, in that case, that would contradict Rav Chisda. The answer is Hachav Ma'askin and De'osu L'Yodeh. Yeah, but you know what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is talking about? Where the Matnas Kohuna already reached the Kohen's hands. So if they were already in the Kohen's possession, and then somebody took them away from him, sure, then it's Momen Shiyesh Leitoyvin. Then that particular Kohen is the owner of them. So of course he can sue him and base them and get him back. That's the point.
Isn't that obvious?
Well, one second. The question is, that's the question. Either also the Yodei Maila Memra. If you're telling me that they already are in his hands, and what's the Chiddush? Obviously, it's considered his Momen at that point. The answer is, also the Yodei B'Tiv Lai. Yes, but the case we're talking about is that they came to him while they were tevil. Now, it's not tevil in strict sense, because you are allowed to eat from an animal without taking out the matonis. Unlike, for example, you can't eat from produce before you take turma and nisus, but we're calling it tevil in the sense, in other words, where the matonis haven't been taken out yet. So suppose you have that the complete animal was in the Kohen's possession. So the entire behemoth was by the Kohen. Let's say for example you left it by him as a pikadon, for example, for him to watch for you. So now and then the animal was shechted while it was in his possession. So now he effectively got the matonis minah hefker. So he has the matonis. He had the entire animal over there, and when the matonis are separated out, then he's entitled to them. So here he had the animal in his possession. Matonis and all, before it was shechted, or after it was shechted, whatever, the chasavar, haitana, now, the kana of this braitha holds, matonis, shloihumu, kmishahumu, damyam. Even before the matonis are actually separated out, it's considered as though they were already separated out.
Because it's in his possession.
In other words, if we were to say that they're not considered as if they were already separated out, then it wouldn't matter. He hasn't been zoicha in anything in particular yet. Yes, the whole animal is in his possession, but so what? The matnas kohuna haven't been designated and given to him yet. But if we hold kamisha humu damyan, then whichever kohen gets a hold of it first is entitled to it. In this case, he got a hold of it first because the entire animal is in his possession, and we consider as if the Zeroy L'Chayayim Bekeva were already separated out and designated out, so therefore he was Zeroy in them. Now, if a person were to take them from him, then it would be Gezel, and the guy could take him to Beis Din.
Before that, it was Gezel Shevet, now it's Gezel Yachid.
Basically, yeah. So if we were talking about a normal case where a Yisrael has an animal and shechted it, and is supposed to give the Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva to the Kohen, but instead he eats it himself, that would be Gezel HaShevet. But in this case, where the Kohen had the entire animal in his possession, we consider as though the Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva already belonged to him as a vet. And therefore, somebody takes them, then it's stealing. As opposed to, so why does that not apply to Chaz V'Shoyk? Because Rashi says Chaz V'Shoyk only applies, it only goes to the base of Kohenim that's on duty that day. It's not for the first Kohen who gets a hold of it. It's any Kohen from that base of. So therefore, if a Kohen from a different base of gets a hold of it, then he has no particular right to it. Actually, the Ritva gives a different reason. I think it's the Ritva, maybe the Rashba, I don't remember. One of them gives a different reason why there should be a distinction. He says because Matonis, the Yisrael has to give them to the Kohen, as opposed to Chaz V'Shoyk is called Mishochan Gavoya Kazochu. And we've learned this concept before, that effectively what it is they come off, it comes off, it's taken from Hashem's table, the Mizbeach, and given to the Kohen. So therefore, it's a different thing. It's like not really coming directly from the Balabas to the Kohen. It's so to speak, it's basically Hashem's property, which was given over to the Kohen. So therefore, the same rule doesn't apply. It wouldn't be considered the moment of the Kohen to the extent that if Yisrael went and took it away from him, that he could take that guy to base.
it's much more humor in a way, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it means, in other words, it's still not considered the Kohen's mamon in the sense he wouldn't be able to go to Beis Din and say, this guy stole my chazav shoyf, make him pay. Okay, that's fine, but it's still Hashem's property. It's not essentially the Kohen's property. He has the right to eat it, but it's not essentially his property. That's the ritual, I think it is, makes that distinction. And actually, according to that, the Radvaz says that in that case, there wouldn't necessarily be a difference between a Kohen from that base or any other. Either way, it doesn't belong to any one Kohen more than the other. Okay, fine. All right, Toshma will bring another proof from a Mishnah and Peah. Mishnah says, Balabayas show you over Mokum and Mokum. Suppose you have a Balabayas, he's rich, but he's traveling from one place to the other, and he ran out of money, or he ran out of food, whatever. So now he's poor. But Sarach little leket shikho peyo maisoni. Now on the road he needs to take leket or shikho or peyo, the various matnas on him, or maisoni. No, so he's allowed to take them because at that point he's considered poor, because right now he doesn't have food. No, we didn't really. I don't think we had this before. When he gets back home, though, he has to pay up for it. Implying, in other words, that now, who is he paying? Bakash is paying the first Ani who comes to him. The first Ani who says, listen, Rabgvir, you took $100 worth of Maisa Ani on the way. Now that you're back home and you're rich again, please pay me that $100. Implying he has to pay. So again, that would go against your Chista, that Mom and Shane Lechovim, you don't have to pay. The answer is, Om Rav Chista Midas Chassidus, Shavukan. Rav Chista answers, okay, this Mishnah is talking about Midas Chassidus. If he's a Chassid, then he should be paying the first Oni that comes in. He wouldn't be required to in Halach.
Because
at the time he didn't have, and therefore, and again, it's Mom and Shane Lechovim. In principle, the Balabas could say to this Oni, I'm sorry, Rav Yid, you're not entitled to that Maisa Oni any more than any other Oni in the world, so therefore, yeah. Okay, Omar Rava, but Rava says that doesn't work. Tana Tony Yishalim, the Atnamath Minasidus Shanukan. The Mishnah is saying Yishalim, he actually has to pay, meaning whether he likes it or not. You're telling me it's only Minasidus. But Oid, and besides that anyway, did Rebel Lezer Lakum Belaysov? What are we coming and asking a question from Rebel Lezer? The Halach is not like Rebel Lezer anyway. Why are we using Rebel Lezer's opinion to ask on Reb Chista? So far we're trying to figure out whether the halacha is like Rav Chista, but we know the halacha is not. We know the halacha is not like Rav Eliezer. So why are we using Rav Eliezer's opinion to ask on Rav Chista? We'll ask on Rav Chista from the sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. The Chachamim say no. The Balabas does not have to pay back for the leket or shikha, etc., that he ate on the road, because at the time he was poor. In other words, it's the same thing as, for example, forget about a person traveling. Suppose you have a person, he was an Oni, he took leket shikha peya, the next week he wins the lottery, okay, but at the time he was an Oni. So the Chachamim say he's not required to pay back. Implying, though, time of the Oni, why are the Chachamim saying he's potter to pay? Why are the Chachamim saying he's potter from paying? Because at the time he really was an Oni. Ha Osher Mashalim, implying though that had he been an Osher, he would be required to pay. Now the question is, am I? Now why should that be so? Levi Kamazik Matnas Kohuna Osha Osham. Wouldn't it be the equivalent of damaging or eating the Matnas Kohuna against Momen Sha'im Loitobin? Because there is no specific Oni that has any more standing to sue him and based in more than any other. And yet, the Chachamim seem to be implying that the only reason he's potter from paying is because he was an Oni at the time, implying had he been an Osher and illegally taken Matnas Kohuna, Matnas Aniyim, he would be required to pay. But why? Who should he be paying? Any Oni who comes to sue him and based in, he could tell him, you're not the one I would have given it to.
They don't know, but it's...
No, well, that's the question. If the Mishnah says that not, then that contradicts your Chista. Your Chista can't argue with the Mishnah. And here's the answer. The answer is that here it's on this part of the Mishnah that Rav Chista is saying midas chassidus shanukan. The Chacham is saying you should know technically he is potter from paying because he was an oni at the time. But even if he was an usher, legally he would be potter. Even if he was an usher at the time and illegally took matnas on him. Legally, he's not required to pay because Mom and Shane are chosen. Midas Chassidus, he should be paying. As opposed to if he was an Oni at the time, then it's not even Midas Chassidus. It's not so obvious because we have Rebbe Eliezer disagreeing. We have Rebbe Eliezer saying that when he gets home, he has to pay. Rebbe Eliezer, first we thought that Rav Chista is referring to Rebbe Eliezer, but we said no. Since Rebbe Eliezer says Yishalim, that can't be Midas Chassidus. Rabbi Eliezer would say that the Balabayas who was traveling is actually obligated to pay for the matnas aniyim that he ate at the time. And how much more so if he ate them illegally? Of course, Rabbi Eliezer would require him to pay. But Chachamim was saying like this: if he was a rich person and was traveling, and now at the time he was considered poor, then even Midas Chassidus doesn't require him to pay that. If he was actually rich the whole time, he had plenty of food, but he illegally took matnas aniyim, then Midas Chassidus would make him pay. If we're talking just strictly on a legal level, then no, he's not required because mom and shame return. So still no contradiction against your Chisda. Toshma, minayim labalabayis sha'ochel peroitza tzvol. And how do we know if a balabas eats his produce as tevel, he doesn't take off truma and meiser, so he's chayiv mitzvah d'shamayim for eating tevel, but here we're focusing on the monetary aspect of it. So if he ate his fruit as tevel without taking truma and meiser, v'chein levi sha'ochel ma'aseres tzvolim. Similarly, a levi who eats his ma'aser rishon as tevel without taking off ma'aser, without taking off trumas ma'aser for the kohen. Again, chayv misa b'deshamayim, but minayin shapotrim in atashlumin. How do we know in both those cases the potter from paying the kohenim or levim? In other words, again, in the case of the balabos, for example, he owed about 2% of the produce as truma to the kohen. He owed about 10% of it as truma to the levi. So now instead he ate that. How do we know he's not required to pay back the equivalent amount for the kohen and the levi? Not time of Lima. Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'lo yichalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yorimu." The pasuk says that they shall not desecrate the kodshim of the Jewish people, meaning truma and meiser, asher yorimu, that they will take off, meaning ein mochabahen el meshacharom aveila. So they're only considered kodshei b'nei Yisrael once they're actually taken out from the produce. Before that, they're not asher yorimu, that they will take out in the future. So right now it's tevel. Right now they're chayav nisi b'nei shemayim. But nevertheless, because Tosfos explains, the words Asher Yorimu themselves actually teach us the concept that the words Lo Yichal will actually teach us the concept that a person who eats Tevel is Chayiv Mitzvah D'Shamayim, because we have Xavier Shavu from Truma. But what it is our Gemara is saying, because it says Asher Yorimu La Hashem, and the word Yorimu is next to La Hashem, meaning that Hashem only, like so to speak, gains ownership of it when it's actually separated out. Then it's considered truma, then it's considered meiser. Before that, it's not considered truma, or it's not considered meiser, and therefore he doesn't owe the kohenim or the levim anything for having eaten it. So again, amai, now it's implying ha mishat haram of ha'ilach mi mishalim. Implying, though, the braisa seems to be implying that if he had actually separated out the truma, and then he went and ate it, then mi mishalim. It sounds like at any rate he'd have to pay. Now again, the question is: am I lahavik matnas kimazik matnas korona shachlon? Shouldn't it be the equivalent of damaging or eating the matnas korona? Again, no particular koyin has any more rights to the truma than any other. The answer is hochanami to also liyadei b'tiblayim. Again, the case could be that the produce got into the koyin's possession while it was tevel. So Rashi has two explanations. One is that similar to in the case of the animal before, we were talking about that the animal itself, the pastures, was hefker and came to the kohen's possession. Here we're talking about produce, it would be potter from zorei l'chayayim b'keva for hefker. So here Rashi says two possibilities. One is that the balabas deposited the produce by the kohen for safekeeping, as a pekodin, and therefore the truma and maisa that have not yet been that have not yet been separated out, but they are going to be separated out, are already in there. Therefore, they're already in the kohen's possession. Or the other possibility, that is the case where the braisa is implying that now if the balabas were to go and eat that truma, which had not been taken out yet, then he would be required to pay the kohen, because then it was already in the hands of the kohen. The other possibility, Rashi says, is we're talking about that the balabas, the Yisrael, gave the produce while it was still pebble to the kohen, telling him, you be zoiche in the truma in it. When I designate truma in it, then then the truma is going to go to you. And now again, once he designates the truma, now if he goes and eats it, then yeah. And again, because Sover Haitana, again, our Tana holds Matonet Shloihumu Kamishahumu Damian, that even before you take out the Matonet, it's as if they were already taken out. So that is why the Braisa is saying that if the Balabas ate the produce as Tevel, then he's called to Minah Hashlomen. If it had been designated, actually Tosfos says Mishas Haroma V'Elach doesn't mean once the truma was actually designated. It means once the produce was given to the Kohen, and then he's able to be zoche in the Truma. In other words, the two cases are as follows. One is where the produce is, or actually there are three cases. One where the produce is in the hands of Balabas, and he eats the whole thing, Truma, including what would have been the Truma and Meiser, without separating them. The Braisa is saying, we're learning from the word Asher Yorimu, that he's not obligated to pay. Number two, we have if he himself had designated the Truma and Meiser, and then he ate them, he would also be potter to pay on the grounds of Rav Chista's thing, that on the grounds of Rav Chista's point, that is Mamon Shein Lechoyim, no particular Koyin is able to sue him for it. On the other hand, the third case is if the Balabas gave this produce to the Kohen, either for safekeeping or telling him he's going to be Zoycha in the Truma, and then he went and ate the Truma or the Maisa that had not yet been designated from it, that is when we're saying he would have to pay that Kohen for that potential Truma and Maisa that he ate. Yeah. Fine. Tashma. So, come, let's try to bring another proof for or against Rav Chista. A Braisa says, Haresha Onsu Beis HaMalach Gornoi. Suppose that the soldiers, the officials of the king, forcibly took away the contents of the produce in a person's granary. In b'choivoi, so it depends. Why did they come and take it? Why did they come and seize it? If it was because he owed a debt, namely he owed taxes, and he owed taxes and hadn't paid them, and they came to take that in payment of the taxes, chayav la'aser, he has to take Meiser from some other produce on behalf of that produce that was taken away from him. Because effectively, it's as if he sold, in other words, here we're talking about the produce in his granary had not yet had Truma and Meiser taken from it, but it's considered as if he sold it, because now he's potter from his taxes. So in other words, if there was $1,000 worth of grain over there, or let's not talk in terms of dollars, rather, let's talk about in terms of amounts. If there were 1,000 bushels of grain over there, he would have to go and designate from someplace else. 20 bushels for Truma and 98 for Meiser, et cetera, whatever. Because it's as if he sold this entire 1,000 bushels to the king's people. The im ba'an poros. On the other hand, if they took them for nothing, he didn't owe them anything. They took them illegally, basically. Behefted Baal Chinam, Rashi says. He's just suffering a loss, and they didn't take it for any particular purpose. Potter, Malasa, then he's Potter for taking Meister on their behalf.
Well, that's the point.
In other words, so therefore, he's not hired to take Meister for it because it was stolen from him, effectively. Yes. Yeah. So, the point is, though, again, what are we saying, Chayav La'aser? Implies that we're talking that somebody is able to take, that somebody would, some Kohen or some Levi would be able to take them to Beis Din and demand it. Otherwise, in the first case, he doesn't have the produce by him anymore. Why are we making him chayev to take Meiser from it? It must be that we're talking about why is he chayev l'aser? Because some Kohen is going to show up and say, you owe me 20 bushels of Truma from that thousand, and he's going to have to pay him. Again, that goes against what Rav Chista said.
But only in his possession, but yes.
No. Again, he had 1,000.
Right.
Then the king's soldiers went and took it because he owed taxes.
Right.
We're saying that he's chayav la'aser. Now, if we were just talking chayav la'aser, if it wasn't that any particular Kohen or Levi is taking him to Beis Din or whatever, or demanding it from him, what's he being meiser for? It's not in his possession anymore. It must be that what do we mean chayav la'aser means that if a Kohen comes to him and says, you know, I was expecting 20 bushels of Truma out of that, so now give me 20 bushels from someplace else, then he has to take 20 bushels from someplace else and give them to him, implying that's Momen Shigesh Lotzim, implying that the first Kohen who comes and demands it is entitled to it. Again, against Rav Chista, that it only belongs to the Shevet as a whole, yeah. The answer is Shiny Hoffman becomes Shtar Shilei. Yes, but it's different in that case because he's actually gaining something. When you get down from it, it's not a question of whether a Kohen is suing him or not. It's just the fact that he has a Chiyuv of Meister, and the Chiyuv of Meister still applies to him in this case, because after all, he's gaining something. Now he doesn't owe those taxes anymore. So again, if it was Ban Poros, there's nothing to talk about because he's not gaining anything. But over here, the Makshin was assuming that either way he ought to be potter from Truma and Meisters for what was taken away, and the only reason we would make him give it is if a Kohen or a Levi is demanding it. Now we're saying no, if he's actually gaining something from the deal, namely he lost his bushels of grain, but on the other hand he's gaining that he doesn't owe the taxes anymore, then he actually has still a chiyuv to take Meiser and Truma on behalf of it.
With that idea, you could concoct anything.
No, what do you mean you can concoct anything? So therefore, if he's gaining, he's still chayev and meiser on it. He's still chayev and truma and meiser on it because he's gaining something.
Not having to pay the taxes.
Okay, Tosfos actually asked the question. So you could say the same thing. You could say the same thing before about when he ate the zura l'chayayim b'keva. He's gaining because now he doesn't eat other food. The answer is Tosfos says the difference is that. The difference is like this. When he ate the matnas kahuna, not necessarily is he gaining anything from it, because he could have just skipped a meal. He didn't have to eat anything at all. As opposed to over here, he's gaining something because now they're not gonna take these taxes from him again. So he's actually gaining something like this. He got it over his head, and eventually they were going to collect it from him somehow or other. Like this, if he eats the zroi l'chayav b'keva, he's not necessarily gaining anything because he could have just skipped a meal. He could have fasted that day. That is what it is. So in the case where they took the grain from him in payment of his taxes, that's what we're saying. He actually has an obligation to take Meiser on behalf of it. Actually, Rav Moshe Feinstein actually talks about in one of his Trubas, we have a similar concept as far as Meiser Kesafim. Yet now you have, when it comes to taxes, we know there are different kinds of taxes. There are taxes there are head taxes. I mean, nowadays you don't really have them anymore, but in the olden days you had head taxes where regardless, you know, what no matter how much or how little you own or how much or how little you're making, you owe a certain amount of tax. Then there's taxes on your actual possessions, for example, real estate taxes and whatnot. Then you have on the other hand you have taxes on income. You have taxes So therefore, sort of Moshe makes a distinction based on this Gemara between, for example, what do you have to give Meiser from your money? What goes into the calculation of what you own and what you don't own for that purpose? So he says, basically, based on our Gemara over here, for example, real estate taxes, let's say, do not get deducted from your Meiser from your Meiser obligation because you're gaining something from them. Basically, if you don't pay them, you lose your house. As opposed to, for example, taxes on profit, that's a different thing. That's similar to what we're saying over here, that he's not really gaining as much. He's not really gaining from that.
But
I don't know if legally they'd be able to take the business away for him not paying taxes on his profits, but whatever. They can take something else away from him, maybe, whatever. The point is that those can be deducted from his income so the amount he pays in taxes on those can be deducted from his income when he calculates how much he has to pay for Meiser.
And therefore?
So that's it. So that's the distinction between taxes that a person is required to pay no matter what, versus taxes that a person pays different amounts depending how much income or how much profit or whatever they made this year. Okay.
Thanks, Ethan.